For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
All right, yes, hello, welcome to episode 8 of the Monday Waffle. My name is Jake Batrick. With me in the studio this week is the lovely Claire Dell, and Jesse Watkins makes his return to the panel. Guys, how are we going?
Very good, thanks.
I'm good, and I'd just like to say, Jesse is lovely as well.
Well, yeah, we're all lovely. Yeah. We're all lovely.
I thought that was a blanket lovely for both of us.
Yeah.
But obviously I was wrong. Claire's taken all the lovely for herself.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to kick straight into it. West Perth defeated East Perth 17-16, 118 to 12-8, 80. The Falcons kicked the last 12 goals of the game, including 10 in the final term, to record their second comeback win of the season to move up to third spot on the ladder. So this was the best game of the year so far. It was phenomenal. I had goosebumps all the way through the last quarter.
You did, Jake.
Because I love me Falcons. And it was just great to see them get over the line over East Perth. It was so good. The fans were really happy, especially coming off last week's loss to Claremont, which no one really expected.
No one saw that one coming.
It was really good. There was a few tipping points. There was Matt Johnson got 2 free kicks in the goal square in the last term. And I think at that stage, the Falcons, so from those 2 free kicks, they got in front, and that was the turning point of the game. And they just, East Perth couldn't recover. So really good performance. Well, I don't know if you could be happy with it. You'd like to play 4 quarters of football, and they only really played 1 good quarter at the end.
I don't know, but I mean, there's something to be said for having the ability to turn a game around like that, to not get down in yourself when you're losing by that much and be able to actually pick it up.
So. I mean, it shows they've got good character, obviously, but yeah, I don't think you want to be making a habit.
Because the other week against the Swans, they were down by 26 and brought it back, and this week was down by 42.
Yeah.
So,
So anyway, Claire, have you got some stats for me for the Falcons?
What do you want to hear, Jake?
Just give it to me, Claire.
Moving on. I don't know where to go from that.
Stats, Claire. Come on, get mine out of the gutter. Stats. Jesus Christ.
Bunch of guys kicked 2 goals. Michael Lowry.
Bunch of guys. I haven't heard even before. Where's he from? Bunch of guy.
You sound. You reckon he'll get drafted?
He's on the cusp, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hush. Okay.
Come on,
tell
Claire.
It to us, Claire.
I've got my stats ready. Okay. Cody Manning, Michael Lowry, Aaron Black, Jay Van Burley, Jay Van Burley. So you've got me all flustered now. This is what happens when you tease me. Jay Van Burley, Aiden Lynch, Matthew Johnson, and Andrew Strike each had 2 goals. So that was, a really good all-round effort with the goal kicking there. Luke Meadows, who usually kicks 2 or 3 goals for those boys, was out with a concussion in the first quarter. So, they did a good job to overcome that. Both teams were coming off losses there. Who else did well? Shane Nelson, 43 touches and 8 marks as well. And Aaron Black, not only did he have those 2 goals, he also had 34 touches. So they played really well.
They did. They played phenomenal. A good team effort, good spread of ball winners and goal kickers for the Falcons. Claire, did you have a best on ground for me?
Yeah, hard to beat Andrew Strike. 31 disposals, 9 inside 50s, 7 marks and 2 goals. He was injured last week and, man, phenomenal game for him. Jake, you caught up with him as he was walking off the field.
Strike, your epic comeback, mate. What did the coach say at 3-quarter time?
I think the message basically was just to stick to what we were doing. We were attempting to sort of take the game on and go through the corridor, and we knew the game would open up. East Perth, to their credit, were very good for 3 quarters, and I think the last quarter we just got them a bit with our fitness, and we're lucky enough to run over them in the end.
Your late withdrawal last week, you'd be happy with your performance today?
I suppose it's okay, but the big picture is the team's effort, and for the boys to get up, I think we kicked 10 goals in the last quarter. That's the big message here, and that's fantastic effort.
Now, taking a look at East Perth, Jesse, they played, I think, up until 5 minutes before the end of the third quarter, East Perth were the better team on the day. I don't know where West Perth pulled that massive comeback from, but have you got some stats for me for the Royals?
Yeah, look, West Perth looked to have dominated in the midfield towards the end, I think, was where they started to pull away. I mean, East Perth missing out on Brant College was a big out, going away with the West Coast boys. But the best ones for East, probably Scott Lysette was probably best on ground for them. 3 goals, 1, 20 disposals. He did, and 34 hitouts as well to go along with that. So he was probably the only shining light. There was a couple of other solid performers in Mark Hutchings, Patrick McGinnity, and Shane Hill, but not a lot to say about the East Perth boys. They, a few outs that were key, and and Shane Nelson picking up 43 disposals is a pretty good indication of a bit of West Perth midfield dominance, unfortunately. But yeah, the outs that they had, I suspect, gave West the advantage there.
Yeah, and Lane Rasmussen did a really good job at keeping Mark Hutchings. Well, Hutchings got 27 disposals, but I think Rasmussen running with him for the majority of the game, I mean, his 27 disposals didn't really have a good impact on East Perth, so I think that was really good from him.
Yeah, I think he was under pressure a lot of the game. He kicked one solitary point, 27 disposals, but they weren't fantastic disposals, so he'll be unhappy with that, but he would have got a lot of attention, particularly because they were missing a few other midfield guns.
We'll have a look forward to next week's fixtures for these sides. East Perth travel to Claremont Showgrounds to face the Tigers. Gee, the Tigers are in good form. We're going to have a look at them a little bit later on. But, this depending on who East Perth get back in the side, this could be a really good game.
Yeah. I mean, last year, Claremont were kind of a little like this. They started out really badly in the year and then picked it up to finish quite nicely. I think they were in the top 4 or 5, was it?
Yeah, yeah, they made the finals last year after a really slow start.
Especially with West Coast playing quite well on the weekend and having a lot of those East Perth boys in and around the squad, they'll probably retain those players, which means East Perth won't get anything back in that respect. And Claremont are up in the up, and it looks like... East Perth might be on the wane a little bit. So.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Claremont last week against the Falcons, and Claremont just basically out-muscled and were too big and strong for the Falcons. I mean, West Perth's ruckman was out for half the game, so that really didn't help them. So, yeah, I'm going to go the Tigers to win 3 in a row on their home patch. I think I might regret that next week. No, I mean, East Perth... They've been really good in games this year, and they've been also quite terrible. So
depends which team turns up.
Exactly right. So look, I'm gonna stick to my guns and go the Tigers. Claire, are you going to do the same?
I don't know, because I had high hopes for Claremont after that. I think it was that round one game against Subi when they just looked so evenly matched, and I was like, man, Claremont are gonna have a great season. Oh, I hate myself for doing this, but I think I'm gonna go Claremont. I think I'm gonna regret this, but I'm going with Claremont.
Excellent, Jesse.
Haven't tipped against my Royals at all this year, and I'm not going to start now. I reckon East Perth will win this one quite comfortably.
Yeah. Now, West Perth West Perth are hosting the Sharks up in Joondalup next weekend. Well, I'm obviously going to go Falcons. They're my boys. So, Claire?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go West Perth. Good effort this week.
Yep, they can back it up.
Yeah,
cool.
I don't get East Fremantle. Some weeks they look really flash.
Yeah.
And then some weeks that, like, I mean, they won this week just gone, but they were at home to Perth and they, you know, only a 24-point win. Like, it's not that
It's a pretty
great.
Average performance like, when you're playing against Perth.
At home as well, yeah. So I don't understand East Fremantle. And as much as I want to tip them, I think West Perth should probably win that one quite comfortably.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those games go next week. So tune in for all the results and review of those two matches.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
On the line now, we have Mark Reddings from Channel 7. Mark, did you have a good Mother's Day this weekend?
I did indeed, although I was at the football for the first half of Mother's Day down at Adams Stadium watching East Fremantle play Perth. But if you're going to be somewhere outside of being with your mum for that first part of the day, it was a beautiful morning and a fantastic game of footy really in the end.
Yeah, it was a strange game, Mark. The Sharks kicked 10 goals in the first term and only managed a 24-point win in the end.
Yeah, it was a 13-goal first term and East Fremantle led by 43 points at quarter time. And looking at it from a Perth point of view, thought, how ugly could this get? But to Perth's credit, and Earl Spaulding would be really proud of the fact that his team fought out the last three quarters. They got to within 15 points late in that game, but unfortunately just didn't have the class to finish off East Fremantle. Has to be said, though, the Sharks had a couple of key players out, Brad Dalziel and Jamie McNamara, through injury. So that did open the way for the likes of Aidan Tropiano, midfielder from Perth, who's just a real gun and should be playing state footy this month for the Sandgropers. And then, of course, guys like McKenna, and had a couple of real stand-up players who pushed and made sure that the Demons kicked a score as opposed to the week before when they managed just three goals. So they were competitive, but East Fremantle just an edge in class.
Yeah, you mentioned Louis McKenna there. He's had a couple of really good weeks. And, Aidan Tropiano, he's always doing well. So is he finally getting a little bit of help there in the midfield?
Yeah, that's exactly the case, Claire. And when you think of Tropiano, I think he's racks up 30 disposals plus every week. So he's always a ball magnet. Of course, he's a former East Fremantle player, but he's getting a lot more opportunities here. And Liam McKenna, as you say, he's the guy that's been instrumental in helping Tropiano inside that centre square. So Perth, the midfield depth isn't great. The forward line, I can't just rely on Mitch Morton. They just don't have the firepower just yet. But I know the club's going to head over to Melbourne in a couple of weeks to source a couple of key forwards for next season. So they've got some promising signs. They certainly don't look like a team that should finish on the bottom of the table from what we've seen in the couple of games, albeit they've lost both. They really pressed the opposition. So positive signs for the Demons, but if you're an East Fremantle supporter, they are tracking along nicely. In every game we've seen them play, they've been super impressive.
Yeah, you mentioned before the Sharks had a few outs, Dalziel, McNamara and vice-captain Matthew Jupp. Is there any word on how those guys are going?
Well, I spoke to Jamie McNamara actually walking into the ground, and he did a fitness test on Saturday but just didn't come up. So, look, a hamstring injury, you'd think a couple of weeks just to be sure of being right to go. He was about to play his 100th game, was J-Mac, so that was a bit of a pity to him.
Oh, no.
Brad Dalziel has got that foot problem, ankle problem, so he might be missing a couple of weeks as well. So, look, I don't think there's any rush to get them back. They are two really important players. So, as providing they come back 100%, and East Fremantle can get through this next month without too much damage in terms of losses, they could be really well placed to finish top two.
So, just lastly, Mark, who's in action on Channel 7 this weekend?
Yeah, we've got Subiaco versus Swan District. Haven't seen Swans just yet this season in live, but we've had a look at Subiaco on Good Friday, and they were pretty poor. So that belies the fact that they're flying high on top of the table. Very impressive against Peel, but I just haven't seen them at their best yet. Hopefully that'll come on Saturday, and hopefully Swanies, after a narrow loss to Claremont, will show plenty of fight in what should be a really entertaining game of footy on a Saturday afternoon where the bounce down is at 2:40.
Awesome. Mark Reddings, thank you so much for joining us, mate. Really appreciate it.
Have a good weekend and week, guys.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Peel hosted Subiaco in a top-of-the-table clash at Bendigo Bank Stadium down in Mandurah, but it was the Lions who dominated, winning 16-16, 112 to Peel 7 goals, 10-52. The Lions running out 10-goal winners, and they just cruised, absolutely cruised to victory. Claire, have you got some stats for me for the Lions? Who played well?
Everyone played well because they're the Lions and they're really good.
I forget they're your team.
They are my team.
Claire, have you got some stats for me? Who played well for the Lions?
So Brett Robinson was pretty dominant. He had 34 touches there, one goal and 11 marks there. Chris Phelan, he also had a really strong game. He and Wade Twomey each had 25 touches. They were all over the ball. But, you know, you've got to give best on ground to Shane Yaron. 6 goals, 21 touches, 8 marks. That brings his total for the year up to 29 goals.
Wow.
He's just a gun.
He's just getting it done, isn't he?
He is.
I mean, when you've got a bloke who can kick, he's kicked a bunch of 5-goal-plus bags this season.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 4. I'm going to say that's his 4th.
Well, we'll look that up.
We'll look that up and let you know soon. Just really handy to have someone like Shane Yaron.
Yeah.
Who you can rely on to kick a bunch of goals. Even Clancy Wheeler, he's kicked a couple of bags of 5 as well this year.
He didn't have any goals this this week, though. So he just had 20 touches. What?
Jake's giving him a big rap. Like, what, yeah, Clancy Wheels is just, yeah, nah, he's kicked nothing this week. Like, just shuts him down.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine.
What? Well, he didn't.
I'll go on from
that. Do your homework, Jake.
I have done my homework because before you rudely interrupted, I was going to say it doesn't matter if Clancy Wheeler doesn't kick a goal this week. Their forward line is obviously working just really well, and everyone's clicking. It's like a well-oiled automobile.
Apart from Clancy. He's not clicking. He's not doing anything.
What this waffle app needs to do is have goal assists or goal involvements, because I reckon Clancy Wheeler had a say in a few goals. You know, I mean, he's not kicked any goals, but, you know.
Yeah,
so,
well,
Waffle, if you're listening, put that in the next update,
because
please.
We're too lazy to drive to Mandurah and actually find out ourselves.
You know,
so
there's only so many games we can get to each week. Let's have a look at Peel. Jesse.
Oh, Peel, my perennial disappointments. That's a bit rough. I'm not angry. Just disappointed.
Yeah, perfect.
Take the passive aggressive angle, and I'm going to highlight Leroy Jetta here because he did kick 3 goals, but he is the master of efficiency because he only picked up 9 touches for the game. So poor bloke didn't have a lot of involvement, but he managed to squeeze out 3 goals, which is, you know, well done to him. And then the only other interesting one there is Tendai Mzungu. 28 touches, so he did fairly well for the game.
17 handballs, though.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly effective, but yeah, so it's a bit of an average game all round for Peel. I mean, as you can tell, they got thumped. But Tendai Mzungu, 28 touches is deceptive because it looks like he's played pretty well, and you think, oh yeah, I expect that from an AFL-level player. But I don't think the coaching staff at Frio will be particularly happy with his game.
And then in the third quarter, he was reported for rough conduct. He spear-tackled Kyle Halligan from Subi.
Yeah. So
good work, Mzungu.
Yeah, maybe they should have taken him to in the Frio squad.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have a look forward to the fixtures for both these sides next week. Peel make the tough road trip to South Frio. South Frio had the week off this week, so the Bulldogs will be snarling, ready to go.
Slobbering and growling.
Just struggling to breathe. Oh, no, they're pugs.
Yeah. Pugs are... it's pretty similar. Just looking like they've run into too many doors. they're a good-looking team.
Yeah, no, I like the Bulldogs. They're doing well at the moment. But having said that, I'm going to tip the Dogs.
Yeah,
just at home, Fremantle Oval, week off, and then playing at home, I think, is a good recipe for success.
Mm.
I think couple that with the fact that Peel are, I think, yeah, they had a good little run there, but I think they're done.
Yeah,
they're not good. No, I'm tipping South Fremantle.
Sorry, Claire, tell us how you really feel.
Well, they're not.
It's very well politically put. They're not good.
I mean, I'm gonna go with what Jesse said. The disappointing. They've had the first 4-game winning streak in the club's history, and then just lost 2 in a row. And I think they're gonna lose 3 in a row.
Here we were # pray for Peel, and they've disappointed us.
I still think they'll make the finals though. Just.
There we go.
Just.
Jake Batrick putting
it
on the
line. I said it last week.
I think they're going to make the finals. Ooh, can we get that in writing?
Yeah, well, it's in several podcasts.
Where's their spot, though, then? Like, surely Subi make the finals.
Yeah.
West Perth make the finals.
Yeah.
East Perth, maybe.
I reckon South Frio is going to make the finals.
Yeah, South Fremantle has got to be in there. And then East Perth and East Fremantle, they're, like, two... you're not really sure about.
Although East Fremantle are 5-2 at the moment. So, Subiaco hosting Swan Districts at Medibank Stadium. Yeah, Subi for me. Just doing really, just getting it done.
Especially at Medibank.
I mean, Subiaco won this week and last week. Their coach, Jared Schofield, wasn't happy with the way their team played and didn't let them sing the team song after the game.
Even though they won.
Even though they won, so.
It's a bit mean.
Well... He's a hard coach, and you know, you got to do what you got to do. And he got a response from his boys this week with a 10-goal win.
So he does get a good response out of them.
If you play for Subiaco and you're listening and you sung the song this week, let us know.
Yeah,
because that'll be great. So yeah, I'm going Subi over the Swans. Are you guys going to differ?
No, I'm tipping Subi.
It's unanimous, mate.
I'm not even going to try and say that. So stay tuned next week for the review of that game, and we'll see how it goes.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Claremont have secured their second win of the season in a nail-biting clash against Swan Districts in Mount Barker on Saturday. The Tigers defeated the Swans 10-18-78 to 10-7-67. The teams were evenly matched with 2 goals apiece in the first quarter. The Tigers displayed some inaccurate goal kicking in the second quarter, but were still able to manage 5 goals to the Swans 2. The third quarter saw the Swans fight back with 3-0, but it wasn't enough to defeat a dominant Claremont who came out on top in the final quarter. Claremont had some standout performances, with Thomas Ledger kicking 2 goals along with 32 disposals. Former West Coast ruckman Mark Seabee also had a strong game with 31 hitouts and 17 disposals. Kepler Bradley and Jack Bradshaw were the top goal kickers for Claremont, booting 2 each. Nathan Blakely had a good debut performance for the Swans with 18 disposals, 15 hitouts and a goal, while Swans forward Rudy Riddick and Simon Donovan had 3 and 2 goals respectively. In the midfield, Ryan Davies had 24 possessions for the Black and Whites, while Nathan Broad and Aaron Alari had 23 each. Next week, Claremont hope to continue their good form as they host East Perth, while the Swans take on top of the table Subiaco at Medibank Stadium. This has been Kate Ryan for the Monday Waffle.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Guys, it's that time of week again to get our tips out. I said get our tips out. Now, just quickly before we do that, I want to rehash. I was correct. It was Shane Yaron's 4th bag of 5 goals or more.
Oh, wow, great.
This season. So,
good stuff, mate.
He's kicked 5, 5, 3, 6, 4, and 6.
Well done.
So he's got a bag each week. Just
can't
depends.
Say you're not on top of your stats, mate.
You
like
can read
nose.
From a page like no one else.
Gee, that's rough, Claire.
Come on, don't wreck the radio magic. Massive week in terms of the tipping ladder. I, for one, are very stoked.
As am I.
Yeah, I mean, Claire and I, we did the best this week. We both got 3 out of 4, so... Go us.
This is the first time I every week can just consistently 2, 2, 2, 3.
Now, I have been on the bottom for a long time.
Since the start.
Since the start. I'm off the bottom. It's official.
This week marks a big change, and Jake is moving on up.
Yes, no, I am off the bottom. I am currently 3rd bottom.
So, he's moving on up and nothing can stop him.
This week, we'll go from bottom to top. So Nicole and Josie, they both scored 1 point this week. So they're equal bottom on 13. I move up to 14 points, one behind the next 4 people. So Claire, Jesse, Mark and Jared are all on 15.
Absolute logjam there, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
we're
Josh,
really stuck.
Josh enjoys his 3-point buffer at the top of the ladder still, so... Interesting, but as I say, every week, it's a long season and there's a long way to go. So rehashing our tips, we've actually accidentally tipped for all of the games earlier in the podcast. We'll go over that again, we'll revisit that. So Claire and I tipped Claremont to beat East Perth at the Showgrounds on Saturday afternoon. Jesse's sticking to his Royal Boys.
Go the Royals.
We've all tipped the Bulldogs to beat Peel Thunder at Fremantle Oval, that game also on Saturday afternoon. We've again all tipped West Perth to get over the line against the Sharks up in Joondalup, and we've all tipped Subiaco to beat Swan Districts at Medibank Stadium. So,
and this is the week where I'm really going to just come into my own. Jake and I are just going to continue moving on up, and Josh has got it coming. Josh is in trouble.
2 weeks in a row, hopefully for me, I'll get 3 out of 4. God forbid I get 4 out of 4. Gee, that would be
amazing.
That would be amazing. But guys, thank you for joining me for this episode of the Monday Waffle. It's been a great show, a lot of banter, and we'll catch you next week on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.
Cheers.
It's been fun. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.